This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The new members of the Ohio General Assembly are now sworn into office and at work in Columbus. Among them, Gene Schmidt. Over the past 30-plus years, this longtime Republican politician has been a Miami Township trustee, a state representative, a congresswoman, and is now back in Columbus after winning election last November. I spoke with her earlier. Here's our pre-recorded interview. And we're joined now by newly elected State Representative Gene Schmidt. Representative Schmidt, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's great to be talking to you, Michael. You're my favorite name. That's my grandson's name.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say, and my hello to your grandson, Michael. So you've been out of politics for about 8 years when you ran in the fall, and I'm wondering, gosh, you look around and you see the state of politics. What made you want to get back in?
I believed at the time, and now I know more than ever, experience matters. I knew this was going to be an open seat. And while I never thought I wanted to return to politics or to government, what I saw happening in Columbus was an erosion of our local government fund. And that's a critical source of funding for every township, every city, every village in the state of Ohio. And there was no resolution to replace those funds. These are funds that these entities have counted on for well over 50 years. And that's what really sparked my interest to return.
So, Representative, we spent the past year dealing with a great deal of things in politics and obviously in healthcare involving the COVID pandemic. We've seen calls for a reckoning on racial injustice. Let's start with COVID, because that's been around for almost a full year now, and it's fallen on the shoulders of governors in a lot of respect to handle the way states and its populations respond to this unprecedented period. How do you assess the performance of Governor Mike DeWine during this period?
Mixed. I understand that he wants to keep us safe. But I am really worried about picking winners and losers in this whole process. We've got a lot of entities that have been affected, from small businesses, restaurants, healthcare. You can't even touch the whole issue of healthcare without understanding what the cost ramifications have been just in having to make sure that everybody is safe. That has added a layer of cost that was unanticipated, unexpected, and it has really made all entities of healthcare have an enormous financial burden.
If you got on the phone, I was just going to say, if you got on the phone with the governor and could offer him some advice, what would you suggest he change in his approach?
I would like us to open up a little more. I'm not sure a curfew is going to help stop the spread. I would like hairdressers to be secure in knowing they can stay open, and fitness centers, dance studios, those kind of things where we pick losers, as well as retail. I don't want to lose the retail. And to make sure that not just hospitals, but physical therapy centers, nursing homes, et cetera, are not adversely affected.
We are now at the point where vaccines have been made available to some of us. We're hoping that it becomes available to all of us who want it as soon as possible. But this has fallen on the states and then at the local government level. What are you aware of now in your very early return to the state house about the process and rolling out the vaccine? And is there anything that you'd like to see change in that approach?
Well, I don't think we are as prepared as we hoped we would be. When we thought it, if I was talking to you today and you asked me a month ago where we would be on this vaccine, we probably should have had about 1 million people covered. We've had 250,000 people covered. And when you're opening up phase two and phase three, and you haven't even given everybody in phase one the chance to have the vaccine, you've got a problem. I was in Florida over Christmas, And the quagmire that they are facing is enormous on how to even register to get the vaccine. That first phase wasn't able, those citizens weren't able to do that. Now, I don't know how it's rolling out in Ohio and if they're suffering the same issues, but I think this massive approach to a vaccine and wanting everybody to have it almost immediately is a huge task. And I hope that we can find outlets that will help move the process forward and move it forward quickly.
We're talking with State Representative Jean Schmidt. She's a Republican from Miami Township. She represents District 65 in the Ohio State House. How has this pandemic impacted you personally?
In many ways. My husband and I rarely go out. Obviously, I lost my Boston Marathon. I got into New York. Couldn't do it. The flying pig. But I also understand the cost to folks in my family. My daughter owns a dance studio. She had to close down for 3 months. My son-in-law is in the restaurant business. So I hear the issues that are out there that are facing normal, hardworking Americans, because my family are normal, hardworking Americans.
We're talking with Jean Schmidt, State Representative. I know you saw in recent days what happened in the U.S. Congress, outside the U.S. Capitol. You previously served as a Republican member of the United States House of Representatives, a seat now held by Brad Winstrup. What are your thoughts about what you witnessed there on the steps of the Capitol and inside the Capitol?
I'm almost brought to tears with it. Freedom of speech, freedom to protest is protected in our Constitution, but it has to be peaceful. This was destroying not just that beautiful building and all that it represents, but it destroyed lives. People were killed. People were hurt. And it made our country even more divided than we were already divided. These folks had no right to destroy property. Nobody has the right, because they're angry at something, to destroy property, whether it is public or private property. And for those that choose to do that, they have to reckon with the consequences of the laws that they have broken.
Where do you think the country goes from here? It doesn't seem like there's any tangible way to move forward in addressing this great divide between people on separate sides of the ideological divide.
I have volunteered for a long time with City Gospel, so I know a little bit about the Serenity Prayer. And I think it goes, to paraphrase it, something like this. Please, God, let me recognize the things I cannot change. Let me recognize the things I can change. And let me be smart enough to know the difference. That's where we need to be in this country. We cannot change this election. We can change the next election. If you choose to want to change, make change, then move forward to the next election and be smart enough to know the difference.
But with each election, there are issues that are debated, and it seems that we're at a point where in politics, we can't talk about facts. You know, there are narratives that are developed, and that's what folks hold on to. How do you address that? Because otherwise we are just moving from election to election, and it's a continuous battle, it seems.
We have to recognize that there are a lot of opinions out there, and we have to respect other people's opinions. We also have to, as the Serenity Prayer suggests, to understand and know what the real facts are and work towards resolving issues around those real facts. But making sure that all voices are heard in the process. When you shut somebody out, you create anger. You have to be open to hear everybody's concern. That's what's lacking across America.
Even in the state capitol, where you're now working again, we've seen some pretty aggressive displays of protest. And we saw the state health director leave out of concerns for her safety. Do you have concerns moving forward about the state of things, particularly in the state of Ohio.
I would hope that Ohioans have those deep-rooted Midwest values that understand the respect of others. And that's what I'm holding on to. I would hope that the folks that want to protest against whatever issue it is, do it peacefully and respectfully, because then your voice will be heard loud and clear.
We're talking with State Representative Jean Schmidt, a Republican of Miami Township. She represents District 65 in the Ohio House of Representatives. Representative Schmidt, this pandemic will someday be behind us. We hope that the severity of this political divide could someday be behind us. But regardless, there will be other policies to address during your time in Columbus. What do you think are the top issues that you hope to fixate on during your tenure?
Well, first and foremost, the budget. The budget touches every single entity in the state of Ohio. And each and every biennium, there's always more wants and needs than there is money to fulfill those. But this budget's going to be more critical than ever because of the cost factor, both economic and social costs, that COVID has caused. And so my main concern is to make sure that our most vulnerable citizens are protected and the health care that they need is protected, as well as our students. I'm concerned with a change in the way we're educating our students. I don't want them to fall behind. And I think that we really have to work to make sure that they are getting not just an adequate education, but a decent education so that they can be prepared for the future in this country.
There is ongoing discussion about what has been known as House Bill 6, the nuclear bailout legislation that involves former House Speaker Larry Householder, someone you know well. I'm wondering what your position is on that legislation, whether it should be repealed, whether it should be replaced. What are your thoughts?
I wasn't there when it was crafted, so I don't know why they put all the provisions in that they did. I'm here to listen and to learn and to make the best decision for our citizens of the state of Ohio in this issue.
What were your thoughts when you heard the charges against your current colleague, Larry Householder?
Saddened, and I don't want to discuss it any further.
So you mentioned marathons a little bit ago, and you know you were sad that they were lost, and that's because you're a longtime runner yourself. I understand that you have found a way to stay active in that respect in spite of losing sort of the marquee marathons.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Well, in addition to trying to find boutique marathons all across the country that I can safely get to, I've also been very active in my community. Up until now, I was teaching at Chatfield College. I absolutely loved it. I was teaching not only government, I was also teaching the Constitution. And it's interesting when things pop up around the United States, I can always find a connection to our Constitution with it. And I've also been working with City Gospel and Recovering Addicts. They have a great running program to help them resolve their issues, and I'm very proud to be a part of that organization.
Jean Schmidt is a Republican from Miami Township. She's back in the Ohio House of Representatives, representing District 65. Representative Schmidt, thank you for taking the time with us, and I hope we can talk again as issues emerge from Columbus as we move forward in the future.
Have a great day, and let's get some sunshine out here.
And up next, the youngest member of the Ohio legislature is from Butler County. We talk to 25-year-old freshman lawmaker Thomas Hall. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Thomas Hall is just 25 years old and is a freshman state representative from Madison Township. Though he's young, he's a well-seasoned politician. The Republican was first elected to office as a Madison Township trustee when he was 20 and still in college. I spoke with Representative Hall earlier. Here is our pre-recorded conversation. And joining us now is State Representative Thomas Hall. He's a Republican representing District 53. Representative Hall, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you today.
Well, you made headlines not just for winning a seat, but you're going to be the youngest member of the next General Assembly. You're 25 years old. This isn't even your first rodeo. You've been a Madison Township trustee. So how does someone get into politics the way you have at such an early age?
Yeah, so I'm very blessed. I need to thank my Lord and Savior for all the opportunities he's given me at such a young age. I come from a family of public service, and growing up, seeing both my parents serve in the community really had a huge impact on my life. So when the opportunity arose to run for township trustee in my hometown of Madison Township, it was a fun ride. As far as it started with someone telling me I couldn't do it, and that was kind of the motivation behind everything. And we went door to door, knocked on every single door that we could, and we ended up winning that election. And everything that we've done so far has kind of prepared us for this moment. And again, I'm just so thankful to have this opportunity to serve in the state legislature now. We are the youngest, and we have the most energy, according to our House Speaker. So very excited to see what we can accomplish during these unprecedented times.
Well, as for the district you represent, it is the 53rd House District. That's northern and western Butler County. It includes the cities of Middletown, Oxford, and Trenton. I read in the Inquirer, Representative Hall, that one of the issues you hope to improve is broadband access. And I understand that's an issue that some of your neighbors in the township may have been struggling with. Can you talk a little bit about what you hope to accomplish in that respect?
Yeah, so broadband access is an issue that we had dealt with in my time as a township trustee in Madison. And fast forward to today, House Bill 13 was with Representative Carfagna. It had passed in the House in the last General Assembly, but did not get anywhere in the Senate. It is an issue that, for instance, today I was in some meetings this morning with fellow reps, and it was an issue that came up because it's an issue that affects not only my district, but affects a lot of districts around the state. And if you think about the times that we're in, Michael, with education and people working from home now, there's that greater need for that broadband access to allow for students to continue their education from home and to allow for parents and people to work from their homes. So this is an issue that will get brought back up. I'm very confident in that regard, and I hope to be a huge supporter of the new House bill that they come up with, and you know, maybe even look at sponsoring with Representative Carfagna.
Talk a little bit about the issues you have with the way Ohio funds its schools.
Yeah, so school funding is, if it's not the top priority, it's in the top two or three priorities for my office here. And we hear from our constituents, we hear from our superintendents, our local school boards, almost every day in regards to this issue. As you know, House Bill 305, Cup Patterson, did pass in the House last General Assembly, did not get anywhere in the Senate. In talking with Speaker Cup, which House Bill 305 was his bill, in talking with him, I'm very confident that we can get school funding taken care of. The current school funding is unconstitutional. So we hope to get a solution for all of our local school districts. And I am in contact with them on almost a daily or weekly basis, trying to update them and to make sure that we are representing their needs here in Columbus.
We're talking with newly elected Ohio State Representative Thomas Hall. He's a Republican representing District 53 in northern and western Butler County. The district includes Middletown, Oxford, and Trenton, and of course his native Madison Township, where he had previously been a trustee. He is going to be the youngest member of the new General Assembly at age 25. Let's talk a little bit about COVID, because that has impacted everyone's lives, not just in your district, but all around the world. And it's forced governors to make decisions, and governors have been criticized, particularly Republican Governor Mike DeWine here in Ohio, about some of the responses designed as an effort to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Just generally, how would you assess Governor DeWine's performance during this global pandemic?
Yeah, so number one, first and foremost, I respect Governor DeWine, and I applaud him, for the efforts that he has made throughout this pandemic. I will say this, I respectfully disagree with a lot of the things and a lot of the measures he's taken. The reason I say that is a lot of our small businesses in our district are struggling. And, you know, I understand that we are still in the midst of this pandemic. And I hope that we can, you know, in the next few months kind of turn the corner and, you know, take steps back to normal. But, you know, Governor DeWine has a very difficult job as being our state's governor. But for me, you know, I disagree with a lot of his mandates. I disagree with a lot of the orders that he has put in place. That is punishing our small businesses. A lot of small businesses that we talk to in our district, they are, you know, barely surviving, and they need help. So we hope to be a voice for them. And again, we respectfully respect the governor and everything that he's done. But there is some parts of the things he's put in place that we respectfully disagree with.
What are some of those issues specifically?
Yeah, so the curfew has really hurt some of the smaller businesses. Some of the enforcement that he's done as far as the mask, a lot of the residents in the district are taking the precautions. My district specifically, we are in constant contact with all the local governments to ensure that they are receiving the supplies from the state and from the local health department, just trying to coordinate efforts together as a team. You know, the only way we're going to get through this and get out of this is together. And, you know, as I, you know, like I said, disagree with the mask mandate and disagree with some of the orders that Governor DeWine has put in place. The reason being is he's not consulting anyone else, such as the legislature and some of our opinions. And, you know, you've seen some legislation to try to restrict some of the governor's power. But as far as, you know, specifics, that's probably the main specifics that we're talking about.
We're not just in the midst of COVID-19 still. We are seeing the highest case count that we've seen since the pandemic began. And while the vaccines are not just on the horizon, they are here. They're going into people's arms, not as quickly as people had hoped, it appears. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. But right now, this pandemic is raging. And people do credit masks. Science folks, medical people suggest that the wearing of masks helps slow the spread. What particularly is your issue with the mask mandate?
Yeah, so I, you know, again, respectfully disagree with the mask mandate. I just don't think that, you know, our government should be telling us what we should be doing. But with that being said, if I go somewhere in public and there's a sign, I obviously follow all the, you know, rules on the door. And I just try to be as respectful as possible. When I do go to in the public places, I for one don't like wearing a mask, but at the same time I do as a respect to others. You had mentioned that, you know, we're kind of still in it, and you know, listening to some of the scientists and listening to their predictions, we kind of knew that this was going to be a tough winter for a lot of people. So, you know, my big thing is having a positive outlook on it, hoping that we are turning the corner, hoping that there is light at the end of the tunnel with some of those vaccines that you had mentioned getting rolled out. And again, this is not me. This is not our governor. This is a total team effort on all levels. And together, I think we can get through this and come back stronger and better than ever.
Will you wear a mask in the state house? I know that's been an issue for some members of the Republican caucus there.
Absolutely. And, you know, everyone has their own opinion. They are entitled to their own opinion. We do wear masks. There's some times where we'll be walking to the state house from the office building, and I will forget the mask, and we will turn around and we'll go back and get it. Again, it's my personal opinion, just trying to be respectful of others and trying to, you know, do my part in slowing the spread and trying not to bring anything back to my family.
Representative Thomas Hall, Republican from the 53rd House District. Thank you so much for the time you gave us, Representative Hall. Good luck. I hope we get to talk again.
Michael, I would love that. And again, thank you for what you guys do. As I said before, a unique time to be in politics and a unique time, I could imagine, being in journalism. So thank you, and I hope to talk soon as well. Have a great rest of your day.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.